Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Charles Colazzi. Today is Wednesday, May the 1st, 2024, the Wednesday of the fifth week of Easter. It is also the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. Our reading today is from the gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own, unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." So I believe we had this reading the other day, and it's the reading that comes right before Jesus says, for some reason, I love that. It's one of my favorite readings, John 15, and I think it's like 13, 14, 15. "You are my friends. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friends." So this is right before that. It's in the context of Jesus praying for unity. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the pruning today. Everyone that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. Let's focus on that a little bit. There are some that will be, I don't say this with joy, I say this with tremendous sorrow, some will be cut off from the vine, or they've already removed themselves and they will be thrown into the fire. Some will be, well, they will stay on the vine. We will remain in him. He will live in us. He will allow us to bear much fruit. But still, there are, and it's kind of like talking about heaven, hell, and purgatory. You know, purgatory is meant to be existence until we get to heaven, honestly, because we always have sin. We always have things that have to be removed. So he, the vine grower, Jesus is the vine. He says his Father is the vine grower. There's still so much that needs to be pruned. There's so much in us that needs to be, I'm looking at hand sanitizer right now, so I'm about to say the word sanitized, but that's not the best word in the world. But yes, we need to be pruned. We need to be perfected. It's just funny that when we talk sometimes about heaven and hell, people, everybody thinks they're going to heaven. And even if they get away from that point of view, still, we don't realize just how much in us is not perfect. It's very far from perfect. And heaven is only for the perfect. Heaven is perfection. Therefore, there's so much in me and in you, in all of us, that needs to be pruned. There's so much that needs to be purified. That's a better word than sanitize. See, it's the I always say it's like the traditional mass versus the Novus Ordo. Right now in the Novus Ordo churches, Novus Ordo masses, there's hand sanitizer everywhere. I call it the Novus Ordo holy water. But no, a better word that we do use all the time in mass in more traditional settings is purified. We have the purificators. The chalice needs to be purified. The priest's hands need to be purified. And our souls need to be purified. We need perfect kindness to be in heaven, perfect forgiveness, renunciation of all the things that we hold on to. We might think, and it's funny, I experience this now in teaching, but you can experience it in any walk of life. You think you're good at something until you meet greater challenges. And then you realize, wow, I thought I was good, but I have so much farther to grow. I have so much more to do before I'm really as good as I thought I was. I can say, oh, I have a gift for teaching kids, and I do. But then you meet some kids that are more challenging. You meet families that are more challenging, situations that are more challenging. I mean, I could go through a list of things I've already dealt with, and yet still I'm finding new challenges. And what does that say to me? Well, I could complain about everybody else, or I could say, Lord, thank you. And I'm not saying I say this perfectly. I have a long way to go. But I could say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity for me to grow more, for me to learn how to be more patient, how to be more charitable, how to be more loving, how to be more understanding, how to be a better teacher, how to reach those that are just harder and harder to reach. I think about, and I was just trying to think of different examples, St. Therese. She didn't live that long, and we know she went straight to heaven. She's a saint. People are praying for different intentions, and she's sending them flowers from heaven, roses. So we know the woman went straight to heaven, and we know she suffered before she died. She died very young. I love reading her story of the soul. I've read it a few times. I can't wait to read it again. I get so much every time I read her story of a soul. And there's other things that she's written. There's the book more recent, Therese, the letters that she wrote back and forth with a young priest. And there's numerous other things. I know different books have been written about her. I know Father Fred Miller of Happy Memory wrote a book about her, and I haven't read that one yet. But she was one who talked a lot about just inner purification. And she talked about how, and I mean, anybody can tell you if you're in the convent, if you're in any group of people, there's always going to be people that get on your nerves. But imagine being in the convent. You don't have a husband, right? You have your cell. You have the other sisters. You have your friends. And there's also sisters in that convent that are very difficult to get along with. Maybe they're older. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're just miserable for whatever reason. Maybe they're very self-righteous. Who knows? Maybe they are young, but they're just very rigid, etc. And in a convent, you can't just hang out with your friends. You have to be there with everybody. You have to treat everybody equally. And you're constantly being watched in a good way. I mean, you know, the superiors are watching, and there's always a challenge. Hey, maybe we need to work on this. Maybe we should try that. And so she would talk about how some of these sisters were just so difficult to get along with. So she knew this was a key to her becoming perfect, that she had to get along with those sisters that were so hard to get along with. And the more she tried to get along with them, she realized that the defects were more in herself than in the other sisters. Isn't that amazing? And here's a living saint as she's writing these things. So she said she would try to, basically, I mean, there's a lot of different stories there. She's one of the patron saints of comedians because she was always making the other sisters laugh. And that's a good thing. There's a whole, that's a whole sermon in and of itself. But she said that she tried to make these sisters that she did not like think that she really, really liked them, that they were her favorite. And she felt that that would have been really accomplishing something. If these sisters that just turned her stomach, that she could not stand, thought that she was their best friend and that she absolutely loved them, not only would it mean she had really grown a lot in patience and in charity and kindness, but also practice makes perfect. She would become then a good friend to these sisters. They would start to love each other more and more. It's a beautiful thing. I know for myself, I love to become friends with people, and sometimes I try to become friends with the most miserable people, and sometimes it backfires on me and I really end up getting hurt. But sometimes, you know, that can be a really fun place to be. And I mean fun in a good way. I mean, it's a challenge, but it's not a challenge like I'm going to use this person. No, it's a challenge to say, all right, this person's hard to love. This person is mean or whatever. They're trying to be mean. Maybe they have walls of defense up for whatever reason. They've been hurt in their past. So maybe I can work towards becoming better friends with this person. And as a result, they end up better off. And I end up better off because I've gained another friend. So that's one example, St. Therese. I think of St. Jane de Chantal. If you read her life story, she's one of my favorite female saints. And there were a lot of obstacles she had to overcome. First, she had been married. They had some kids together. The husband died. She had to overcome great sorrow. Then she had to take care of both her father and her father-in-law while raising these children. Then she feels herself drawn not just towards the spiritual life, but towards being a nun while she's dealing with all these people. And St. Francis de Sales was counseling her through all this. She learned a lot from him, and he learned a lot from her. As he counseled her, she taught him a lot too. And then he wrote Introduction to Devout Life, which is really, it's a great book for everyone, but it was really initially written for her. He wrote various spiritual letters that were written for her, but now we have copies of them. There's books filled with them, and they're great spiritual advice for all of us. And she, another obstacle she had to overcome was just, and this is what he was helping her with, how to become prayerful and devout, despite the fact that you're very busy and you have all these obligations. So that helped her to grow in holiness. Like I said, being friends with St. Francis de Sales, she became more calm, more peaceful, more in control of her emotions in a good way, not in a repressive way. And he learned from her to become more human. Very often in the priesthood, and especially him being a bishop, a man may become less and less human, less and less connected with others. And his friendship with her, and I guess he was already a stuffy sort before he even entered the priesthood, but being friends with her made him more human. It made him more real, more honest, more humble, more fun. And as a result, he was better able to minister to so many other people because of his relationship with her. It's a beautiful thing in the priesthood when you have certain people that help you to become more human. And then as a result, you can help so many more people. Because when you're set apart, sometimes you lose touch with the people that you're actually sent to serve. You lose touch with how to serve them. So St. Jane, you know, she overcame all these obstacles. And then St. Francis, before he died, he knew that she was way too attached to him. So he said, we need to have a time of separation in our friendship. And it was very, very painful for her. Ultimately, they did come back together as friends, and then he died. And then she was more prepared for his death the second time around because she had already learned to get along without him. She was running a convent with many sisters, and she had really leaned on him a lot. And so she became more of a saint, more of someone that leans on God, that allows God to guide and inspire. And then I think she lived another 20 years after his death where, yeah, she constantly referred to him and his letters. She constantly taught about him. But she had to carry on that Salesian spirit, the spirit of St. Francis de Sales. She had to carry on those teachings while herself living life and growing and putting more and more into those teachings. So she was, in a way, the custodian of Salesian spirituality after St. Francis de Sales' death. So another great saint that had to smooth out all the rough edges. We often say when we talk to married couples, couples preparing for marriage, that you're like two jagged rocks, and the goal of your marriage is over the years, over the decades, to become two smooth stones that can easily rub up against each other or anyone else, and it's actually pleasant. We think we're so pleasant, and everybody loves us, and people just can't wait to be near us, when in reality, we don't realize sometimes. And being married, I'm not married myself, but married people say it's like looking in the mirror. You know, your faults really come out because the other person and you have to get along with each other, and you have to deal with these faults on a day-to-day basis. And it's an opportunity to either go in opposite directions because you don't like that experience of someone challenging you from day to day, or you keep working to meet those challenges and to continue. And prayer helps so much to continue to blend and form a deeper relationship and smooth out all the rough edges. The goal of married life is to get to heaven, just as the goal of priesthood or religious life would be to get to heaven. In both cases, really, and in many cases in life, being in a family, being in a community, whatever kind of community that we're in, it's about smoothing out the rough edges, because when we get to heaven, all those rough edges have to be smooth so that we have nothing but charity and kindness for each other for all eternity. I think of some of these older couples. I don't know. Some couples been married 60 years, 50, 60 years, and all they do is fight. But you see some other older couples, usually they hang out around church, and you see how there's a harmony between them. They don't even need words. And sometimes, very often actually, when one dies, the other one will die soon after because their hearts have become one. They can't live without each other. And yet there is a charity, there's a kindness, there's a smoothness, there's a perfection level that they have reached because of the constant challenges and encouragement they received from one another. And that's what we need to do as the human race. We challenge and encourage each other. That's what we do as Christians. St. Joseph the Worker that we celebrate today, well, he's patron saint of work. It's not necessarily that we're focused on his fatherhood, except insofar as, I mean, we can always focus on his fatherhood because he's the father, foster father of Jesus, patron saint of the church, patron saint of fathers and husbands and families. Also, as we begin the month of May in honor of Our Lady, we begin it with St. Joseph. So once again, focusing on the family, but he taught Jesus to work, and even Jesus had to grow in his humanity. He was perfect. He was without sin, but there's still growth that happens in Jesus. There's still a development that occurs there, and St. Joseph was very much a part of that. And as we talk about pruning all the things in us that need to be pruned, St. Joseph can be a great patron for us. We work out our salvation. It doesn't mean salvation comes from your work and my work. It comes from God's grace, but still we have to work out the details of, as God is giving us that grace, constantly intending, I'm going to grow in holiness. I'm going to grow in humility. I'm going to grow in charity. I'm going to grow in patience. We often expect other people to do it, but we can't really have that expectation unless we are doing it ourselves. And the more we do it, the more it naturally will come to us to help others as well. The best way to make the world a better place is to work on yourself, for me to work on myself. On that note, have a great day. Happy May. God bless you.